I think I told you part of this, but the word hope in the Old Testament, I went through all the different words that are translated as hope, and it none of them mean the expectation of some good thing. But the word that's translated hope always means confidence or foundation or sure thing. And it's always connected to and always points toward the Messianic age, Messiah, the age of Messiah. Now, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that the singular thing that happens in the human mind is they cannot conceive of a kingdom of God in earth instead of on earth. And so the Jewish people, they wanted a kingdom, a Messiah, and the Messianic kingdom, then they would be victorious over all their enemies, just like you and I. If we're in the Messianic age, then we're victorious, and we sit around and say rah-rah or something. But from God's perspective, there aren't two comings of Messiah. There's only the one. You know, first we've heard it all our life. First he comes in humility, and then he's coming in power. He's the lamb and the lion. First he comes as a lamb, then he comes as a lion. On and on and on. If he comes riding on a goat, it's really, really bad news. I mean, riding on a donkey, not a goat. If he rode on a goat, it would be really bad. So what we have is it's the proof that the Messianic age began at Christ. The last day began at Christ. When you look at the word hope, as translated in the Old Testament, it means the hope of Israel is the Messianic age. But the hope of Israel got confused just like it is today. They're waiting for him to come again. You've got to hear this. This is critical because it'll provide you the basis for not being deceived by appearances. Right. All right. There was an ecumenical council that met in New York several years ago. I've told you about this before. And with Jews and Catholics and all the denominations and probably even Islamic guys there. And they were having this huge discussion about when Messiah would come again from the Christian standpoint. And this old Jewish guy, the rabbis, comment to them was, well, it's no big problem. When he gets here, we'll ask him if he was here before. The point of it is that the evil one, this evil one here, has deceived the entire world so that the entire world cannot ever see the Messianic. They cannot see the Messiah. He is despised and rejected of all men. Do you understand the importance of this? Maybe everybody else really heard this before. Nothing is left to do. It hasn't been for 2,000 years. The Messianic age is here. It's complete. It's finished. God isn't coming back except to meet us in the clouds when everything else is destroyed. God's not going to change anything. All things continue as they were from the beginning until it's the end. So there's never a visible manifestation of part of my problem is I watch Miles Monroe. He's been a guest on Benny's program all week. And Benny, the purpose of prayer is for you to give God permission to operate. Because God can't operate in the earth without your permission. I mean, I almost threw up when he was talking about this. And Benny was going, And all the little people were in the audience going, "Praise God, this is great, this is new revelation." No, it's just old heresy. They even quoted the scripture that Tilton used to use. "Command you me." Well, except, yeah, "command you me concerning the things concerning my son." Let's go. I'm gonna. So again, in the Old Testament, when the word hope was used, it's talking about the resurrection. In the New Testament, when the hope is used, it's talking about the resurrection in you. So the only difference between the Old and the New Testament is whether or not you have apprehended what has already been finished. Again, it's not Old Testament and New Testament. It is testament or contract prophesied and completed. There's not two different gods. He didn't change his mind and was a god of wrath and wiped out everybody back then, but now he's a god of love and he's nice and sweet and he loves you. And
that goes back to the Antichrist confessing that he did come and will come, right, but not that he is come.
You got to hear this. That's exactly right. The Antichrist will always confess that Jesus has come and that he will come. But it's only the Spirit of God that can cause a true believer to confess that he is come. Now let's look at some of these scriptures. We looked at a few of them before. Let's look at Jeremiah. Let's go to... First let's go to Psalms 31. All of Israel, we're going to look at this in a minute, but all of Israel was looking for Messiah at the time of Christ, for the Messianic age to dawn. And nobody saw it. Nobody recognized it when it dawned. Just like nobody recognizes it today. The mystery which has been hid from all ages and all generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did I say Psalm 31? Oh, I was at Job 31. That's not good. All right, Psalm 31, verse 19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man." Talk 10 years about that. "Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city." Remember, you always know that every time the strong city is talked about, the strong city is the New Jerusalem. Okay? "For I said in my haste, I am cut off before thine eyes, from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." In other words, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it is, he has hidden you in secret. In secret means it can't be seen by the senses. He has hidden you in the strong city. You are kept and guarded by the power of God. There is absolutely nothing that can take place in your life that isn't ordained of and by and for him. Every knee is already bowing. Every tongue is already confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But our ears don't hear it because they're not circumcised. And our eyes don't see it because we're blinded by self-realization. I love this. "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." It doesn't matter what anyone says. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks. Because our hope, and again, the word hope here is mitzvah, or mibth. I can't pronounce it. One of those words I can't pronounce. Our hope, our confidence, our assurance is that we are hidden in a secret pavilion from the pride of men. And the only way you know that with a certainty is by the gift of faith. Now, you have already been given the gift of faith. It's not something that's going to happen. The only thing that's keeping you from manifesting the gift of faith is your idolatry, your concern for self. Now, does that communicate? Can I say it any stronger? What?
It's a cool song. It makes me think of the vulnerability of Christ. You know, he's all powerful, and yet he's all humility at the same time. There's something about God protects the seed.
If we could see it, then the pride of man would pollute it, so it's kept secretly in this place where our sensory stuff doesn't...
Right. And so the point of all this is that this sacred pavilion, the strong city, the place of our being hid, has always been there. That was from before the foundation of the world. When Cain was... His countenance was fallen because his offering wasn't accepted. Why is your countenance fallen? Know you not that the sin offering lieth at the door? From the very beginning, Abel was hid in the secret pavilion. Even though he was slain, he was the first prophet. His blood was the first prophet. Abel was the first member of the body of Christ. And all of the things that have happened since then, where people were martyred for their faith. Those that could see, as Abraham did. Abraham saw his day and was glad. Paul said the gospel was already preached unto Abraham. It was preached unto those in the wilderness. But it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so they died in the wilderness. It's no different than today. And when we want to look at our trek and see our sin, then we simply watch and read what happened to Israel. What, Harry?
The fact that we've already been given the gift of faith is revealed by that process we read about the other morning, about faith and our steadfast endurance and experience. That's the process through which the crack is chipped away to reveal what's already there.
Right. It's the gold being discovered. You can't discover gold. It's that each one of us are that hunk of quartz, and within that quartz is that gold nugget, and we have to have the quartz chipped away, so that which is already extant can be seen.
And that really makes that prayer we've been talking about, really makes sense, the idea that your hopes would be dashed in your dreams. And it's take away the stuff that's in the way of seeing faith.
Okay, Psalm 33.
I was thinking about Abel's offering was basically
Christ.
Talking about it was Christ, and he gave him back to God, and that's faith.
Yeah, remember... The reason Abel's offering was accepted, it wasn't because he went and killed an animal. It was because he somehow knew inherently that the only offering was Christ. And so in the sheep was Christ. And he saw it. Verse 10, chapter 33. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The word nations there is the word am, which just means people. There weren't any nations as we know them. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. How many people? How many nations is their God, their only God, the Lord? Now, watch. And the people with whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, for he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king save by the multitude of a host. If you went to Tilton's church, you wouldn't get up and do that.
It's set too cold. It's set at 71 degrees.
It was really good to me.
Yeah.
There is no king save by being 73 degrees. No. There is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice only in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope. As we Messiah, as we resurrected Messiah, as we see the Messiah in us, as we hope in thee. Okay, Psalm 39.
That's so funny to read this, and you just have to wrestle your brain to not make it mean hope in the traditional sense that we learned what it is. You don't put confidence, another word there.
Just remember.
You can't hardly pull it out.
Just remember. This is why we wrestle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Strongholds, that's a good definition.
But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience. If you hear this now, and 5 minutes later, I hope, you know, you put your definition on hope, then you've fallen back. You've fallen from the strong city. If you judge your brother, you've fallen from the strong city. If you look down at somebody, you've fallen from the strong city. And the only way back is by total and complete abandonment of self. So there is no excuse about our minds. I'm not saying you're trying to make an excuse. I'm saying that your mind, my mind, all men's minds are the instead of Christ, and you have been empowered with the power of God to go to war with that mind. But if you dwell in those imaginations and you dance on your high places, God help you.
Restructure my definitions and then make it okay, because then some other ego in my mind will start to go. It's an absolute solution, and there's only one solution.
But the solution is a battle. But it has to be internal. There's no external battle. There's no external war. It's just crap. And every single time that things do not go the way you think they should, then you're confronted. Are you going to go back up to the high places and perform your sorcery? Are you going to lean on your own understanding and judge after your senses? Or is your confidence in the hope of Israel? And don't tell me ever again, well, you don't understand only because I have to do that in my business. That is pure, pure dung. Oh, you don't understand only because I have to take care of my family. Bigger dung. Oh, you don't understand only because you don't have a wife. Now we're getting to huge dung. Well, you got some good dung? All right, Psalm 39. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with the bridle, while the wicked one is before me. But I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me while I was musing that the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether emptiness. The word vanity here doesn't mean you like to look in the mirror. The word empty, vanity here means empty, futile, without purpose, without function. Every man at his best is altogether vanity. Now, when are you going to stop using that which is cursed to try to apprehend that which is blessed? When are you going to stop using your mind, which is you're using the instead of Christ to get to Him? It's impossible. Verily, every man at his very best state is altogether useless. Now you can think on that. Find me an exception. Gary? Every man at his absolute best is altogether vain, empty, without purpose and futile.
You cannot preach him into goodness.
Well, you can narrow the boundaries. Okay, well, let's make the boundaries just a little, we'll move them in so we don't have to look at time and space or life and death. We'll move the boundaries in. And I'm going to show you how you can be successful. I'm going to take my little job that I have to do over here, and I'm going to show you how I can be successful by leaning on my own arm of understanding. What?
Well, every man at his best is altogether vanity. I'm a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. The original, Adam, was man at his best. And he was vain.
We're not even where I wanted to go yet. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Oh. Huh?
He came delicately.
Every man walketh in a vain show, futile, empty, without purpose. Surely they are disquieted in vain. Oh, I am righteous in my being upset. I'll have something to eat for today if I can get mad at something. Do you understand what I just said? And I love to secret away those morsels of food and hide them so I can go away and just get my fill. That's what you do when you have something to say and you don't say it, and you get mad, and pretty soon you're over there having a feast. It's just gnarling.
You know, food that you save kind of rots.
That's why people have to put preservatives in them. Do you know that Twinkies will last? I just heard this. Twinkies have enough preservatives in them that they will last 28 years.
Twinkies and roaches are the only thing that are going to survive in Nicaragua.
Twinkies and cockroaches will survive.
They're on the website by Twinkies.
How do you know?
The only one that would know.
How do you know, Ronnie? Your computer's in your office. How do you know?
The first thing he did when he got the computer was Google Twinkies.
He Googled.
College kids doing experiments.
I don't want to hear about Twinkies. I can't believe I brought that up. Surely every man every man walketh in a vain show. Surely the disquieted in vain. They heap up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is only in thee. Deliver me from all my transgression. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou did it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed with the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct men for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner. As all my fathers were, O spare me, that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. Now, the recover strength there is that I may experience your strength. But it's only in your weakness that his strength is made manifest. It's only in your emptiness that he is revealed. The hope of Israel has always been only the resurrected Christ. The age of Messiah, from God's perspective, from the standpoint of faith, began at the creation of the earth. That which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. So if you're going to have any other identity other than he who is your perfection, then he requires of you all your past. Doesn't matter when, oh, praise God, the blood of Christ has forgiven me because... No, you misunderstood the meaning of forgiveness. He has to judge you in order to maintain his integrity from the beginning to the end. Unless, through your gift of faith, that mystery takes place, and when God looks at you, he sees Christ, and when he looks at Christ, he sees you. And that's what it means, that you have been perfected by one offering. But if you by your thoughts and actions deny that that offering was enough for you, then you've invited God and the Holy Spirit to look at you from beginning to end. Anybody understand that? It's bad news and it's unbelievably good news. It's bad news to your self-realization, to your abilities, to your strengths. But it's incredible news if you have the slightest bit of intellectual integrity to understand that you're only a hunk of dust. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Pavilion, the literal meaning of pavilion is a secret, private, personal room. Like a prayer closet. That's the only prayer closet, not some idiot thing you build in your house.
Oh, I've got a prayer closet. I've just designed my new home, my new million-dollar home, and I put a prayer closet in there.
Where I pray over all the prayer
requests. Yeah.
Where he keeps his closet, prayer closet, where he keeps his $6,000 suits. Do you see the importance? Can you feel it? Can you?
It's that two-edged sword. It kills on one side and gives life on the other.
No, it just kills. He doesn't give life. He is life. You've got to see the difference between that. Otherwise, you'll be deceived. Any response, Mr. Bojo?
I hear you clearly.
Did I get enough points for you to fix my computer now? Take it, big guy. I'm just